10.
I love politics.
Not sure whether politics and dating really go together.
The only thing I do recognize right now is a political fiasco here.
Political decision.
What are you doing? You don't know anything about politics.
Well, apparently you're more political than we thought.
I'm no cheap, crooked politician!
Gentlemen, affairs of state must take precedent over the affairs of state.
Boy, I did not go into politics to pimp for you.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go.
Hold my hand with a broom. I once got busy in the Trump Tower boardroom. I'm direct. Say what I think. And I think that this country is right on the brink. Now I'm just
a candidate wanting a chance.
Yeah. Even got my own dance.
The Trumpy dance is your chance to be like Trump.
I beat China all the time. 5 billion.
We're doing the Trumpy dance today.
They do.
And what's so much fun is, so is the Republican Party.
Rich.
I would build a great wall.
Yeah.
And nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. And we will make America great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Just don't be Muslim and don't try to enter our United States of America. If he has his way, if the Fuhrer sees it that way. And apparently today he does, his own statement.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. You have no choice.
And the backlash is fast and furious. 808-0810 is our number if you want to respond. Any comments? I mean, it's been playing out all day. As I said, even the GOP is pretty much horrified by the entire situation. Of course, the White House having a field day with this. But nonetheless, as a matter of fact, Barbara Walters just sat down on the ABC Evening News and chatted with Donald. Here's some of that conversation.
Are you a bigot?
Not at all. Probably the least of anybody you've ever met.
Because?
Because I'm not. I'm a person that has common sense. I'm a smart person. I know how to run things. I know how to make America great again. This is about making America great again.
Okay, so he says, but you know, he's repudiated pretty much across the entire political spectrum. Today, right out of the park, and he cast it as a temporary move in response to the terrorist activity that went down in San Bernardino. But nonetheless, when he talks about invoking President Franklin D. Roosevelt's authorization of detention of the Japanese, the German, and Italian immigrants, well, you're going to rattle some cages. And he did. So let's go to my first guest and say good evening to Justin Salhani. And Justin, thank you for joining us. He's a world reporter with Think Progress. And you've been around the world. What is your take on what's happening today as this unfolds?
It's hard to gauge really how to respond. It's surprising that someone can come out and say something that's so general, directed against so many people, specifically when these are statements that aren't helping. I mean, for a long time, a lot of Trump statements have been, you know, many people found them offensive. And here you have a lot of journalists who are trying to stay really kind of, you know, walking a fine line and not try to take a side, not try to be partisan. And they're kind of starting to break with that because they realize the damage that such language does, like the damage that such language can level against other communities and how people react to it. And I think that people around the world pay attention to political rhetoric in the United States, and so to hear such language used, people are paying attention, and people that I know and that I've interviewed and spoken to in the Middle East and beyond will hear this and they'll react to it, and they'll make they'll take away their perceptions. They'll perceive that maybe he's speaking for a big percentage of the United States, and maybe
that's
he is.
Scary.
That is kind of scary.
Yeah.
It is, and I think for so long we've been able, like you heard the funny song we played in the opening. When he first came out and decided he was going to run, it was kind of this big joke, oh, the class clown with the crazy orange hair in the back of the class. But now he's saying things that could affect the entire globe and seems so irresponsible and so frightening. And then we also have audio we can play later of some frightening people that are appearing on Fox News at, doubling down on his statements. And as you heard him with Barbara Walters, he's not backing off. I mean, how scary is this sort of rhetoric in a global village?
It's really concerning. I mean, you know, I like about, let's say, I guess a little over a year ago now, I was in Lebanon. I wrote about this in a piece today, or alluded to it anyways. And I met the family of, you know, an 18-year-old who went to Iraq and joined ISIS, and he went on a suicide operation. Mm. And I was speaking to his brother, and his brother was saying, you know, I totally disagree with what was done, and that's not my beliefs, that's not my religion at all. And, you know, my brother wasn't religious, and the guy was telling me, you know, neither am I. You know, he drinks and smokes and parties and wants to go to live in Europe and start a life and be able to, you know, find security and a job and all this other sort of stuff. And he was telling me, you know, he said at this time, and this is, you know, this is just one story, and I've heard this from many people, that he said, you know, I have nothing against Americans. I have nothing against Americans in particular, even the soldiers who go to these areas and do certain things. He goes, you know, they're obeying orders, but they really believe that the administration targets them and does a lot of things. And if you look at a lot of the actions that have happened to these people, they, you know, from what they perceive and what they hear, what they see, what they've experienced in their lives, it's hard to argue with them. You know, it's hard to sit there as an American and tell them, well, I disagree with you, because at times, you know, there are a lot of things that have happened to them. So when rhetoric like this comes out, it kind of just further bolsters that and really makes it difficult for, you know, for Americans to say, look, you know, we're not against Islam. Like, yeah, he's speaking for a small minority. But then again, like you said, you have people coming out on more of the fringe wing. And even, I mean, to give Fox News maybe some credit, they've brought on some analysts or guests that have said that this, you know, this isn't right. And a lot of the Republican candidates have come out and said that this
is
wrong.
Yes, they have. And you know it's a big deal when you have people like former Vice President Dick Cheney coming out on the same side
Hillary Clinton. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when does that happen? You know, if you see pink elephants flying around, today would be the day. I have to say, because that never happens, and we'll get to that. And by the way, even Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell noted that the idea of barring Muslims or Islamic people from the country, we have King Abdullah of Jordan. He's coming to visit the country. You know, we're trying to form alliances with these countries, and they're Muslim. And their Islam, you know, is their faith. And so how do we do that when we don't want to talk to them, when we have rhetoric like the stuff that's coming out of Donald Trump's mouth tonight and today?
Yeah, and every time he opens his mouth, it gets played and replayed and replayed. And so you're in this echo chamber of his crazy world, you know.
I know. And it's easy to say, well, you know, the press does this. They stir the pot. But he doesn't. I swear, this guy is the master, and you know this, and I don't have to go through all of that again. He is the master of manipulating the media.
Yeah.
He's stirring the pot real good today. But I just wonder, what are your thoughts? 808-0810. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back as we continue our conversation with Justin Sohani. And, you know, and we'll hear. I think you're going to be shocked if you didn't hear this yet. Representative Ryan, the Speaker of the House, Mr. Ryan today, the House Speaker, coming out against this. Former Vice President Dick Cheney, Mitch McConnell, as I said, some of our biggest allies against the war on terror, well, they're Muslims. 808-0810 is the number to the Drex Radio Show.
For more of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Boy, oh boy, yesterday on Fox TV, they were just going after the president because of his speech that he did on Sunday night talking about the terrorists, and it got out of hand.
He keeps speaking about, we can't give in to our fears. You know, don't be afraid. Look, Mr. President, we're not afraid. We're angry. We're pissed off. We're furious.
Yes.
We want you to react. We want you to do something. You're afraid. I mean, this guy is such a total it's stunning.
I can tell you are super angry. And I asked you what your reaction was, but I got a call. You can't use language like that on the program, okay?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't use the wussy word, except he said the real thing. All right, let's take your calls. We're talking about Donald Trump, and today he's under fire. He defends his call to block Muslims from entering the country, which is astonishing to me. And by the way, standing by it. And let's listen to a couple cuts here, and we'll go back to our guests and your phone calls, 808-0810. Where do you stand? Here is former Vice President Dick Cheney and his response.
I think this whole notion that somehow we can just say no more Muslims, just ban a whole religion, goes against everything we stand for and believe in.
Hallelujah.
How often does that happen? I mean, you know, his own party is, well, they're going after him. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan talking about and reacting to Donald Trump's no Muslims in America.
This is not conservatism. What was proposed yesterday is not what this party stands for. And more importantly, it's not what this country stands for.
Wow. Justin, what do you think? Does that take your breath away to see the GOP standing, well, not standing behind Trump?
No, I mean, I think that the, you know, he crossed the line, right? And they probably should have come out and said, you know, enough of his comments.
Whoops.
I think that the fact that, you know, he's gotten, he's maintained such a long time. I mean, for me, the
hey, Justin, could you move to a different area in your house
or
something?
We're losing you for a second. That's okay. We're going to
totally
take some
cutting
calls.
Up.
But I understand what he's saying, because I have to tell you that there was a poll that was taken yesterday, and 68% of Trump supporters would vote for him even if he bolted from the GOP. And obviously, you know, there's a war going in. There's a war within the GOP. Everybody knows that, whether you're, you know, a fan of the GOP or not. There's a war within. But 68% of the people who would vote for him today would still vote for him, even as an independent. Okay, let's take some calls, and we'll start with
Jeff in Marin.
Jeff in Marin, you're on the Drex Radio Show. Good evening.
Hi. I voted twice for Barack Obama, so please understand that when I say this. I heard Bush tell us we have to fight him there, them being these Islamic extremists, so we don't have to fight them here. And that turned out to be an entire disaster, and I think it led to the election of Barack Hussein Obama, which should have sent a message to the Muslims who are extremists, not all Muslims, but a small percentage are extremists, should have sent a message that we were not...
Oops, hold on a second here. There you go. Go ahead.
Trying to protect our own country. And the message under Barack Obama was, we need to stop fighting them there so that they don't come here. So they let us alone. And now we are having the current discussion, which is, what do we do about people who are being radicalized, who are already here? And if you take a look at what's happening in Sweden, Germany, France, suburbs of Paris, you have enclaves of Muslim families, maybe their parents came there, who wanted to be French, who fit in, but their children did not. Their children have chosen a very extreme version of Islam, and they are a danger to the people in their own country. When I hear Mr. Trump, with whom I agree about very little, say, well, maybe we ought to just stop letting them in the country, I'm thinking, that's an interesting idea, because I'll tell you, the alternative the Republicans give me is war in the Middle East, death, and destruction. The response the Democrats give me is, oh, let's all join hands, sing kumbaya, and they'll leave us alone.
You know what? You're right. Somewhere in the middle there is correct. I don't want to cut you off, but we want to get to more calls. No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think that there needs to be serious vetting going on in this process. Today, we actually had some partisan things going on the Hill, and that was, for instance, the engagement visas. Let's stop that, you know, because anybody can get engaged and come over here and get a green card and this, that, and the other. Let's slow that process down. The refugee status, let's slow that down and take a good look at that.
To Jeff's point, Justin sounds good again. Yeah, Justin, join us.
Justin, yes.
Yeah. So the refugee process is already the most stringent. It's the hardest way to get into the country. So I think that's a bit of a ridiculous statement. Also, I mean, we don't get to choose when, you know, when history starts. So if Bush decided to go over there and sent troops over there, and then your house gets bombed, you're not going to be like, oh, okay, well, they elected a new president, everything's okay now. So we don't get to choose when history starts so that you can just be happy with that. In terms of what's happening in France, the French, and I can say this as a French citizen, the French government has been awful in terms of trying to help these people integrate into their country, into their culture. They've totally isolated them. And it's not that the children are And it's not even like it's a widespread thing. Again, like we've said many times, it's a very small minority. But within that, these are people who maybe, and if you look at the profiles of the French attackers, a lot of them were people who did drugs, who went to bars, or things like that. They weren't religious people. And then what happens is that when society rejected them and there was no way for them to get in, they felt really disenfranchised. Unemployment is extremely high. They turn to these things. I mean, yeah, it's not to say that all the blame is on the French government. But, I mean, we can't just say that this is like a Muslim problem. This is an extremist problem.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, and in terms of the refugees, I don't agree that we need more stringent, vetting process, because the vetting process is extremely hard for the United States. What happened in Europe is totally different. And, again, that was not at all connected to the Syrian refugees. That was a guy who bought a fake passport. Now, that can still happen. But again, keep in mind, the guys who perpetrated the Paris attacks were European citizens. They were born in Belgium and France. They were nationals. They were citizens. And so they were doing this to try to blame the refugees. And by trying to turn on refugees, you're doing, again, what ISIS wants. They don't want refugees to flee. They want refugees to go to the Islamic State. That's what they've called for a long time.
And Farouk in San Bernardino was an American citizen.
Well, and by the way, and how reckless is all of this coming out of Donald Trump's mouth today, basically violating the Bill of Rights and, you know, the expression of the religious freedom. But it kind of, it reminds me, it's almost playing into ISIS's hands.
Yeah, could you speak to that, Justin?
Yeah,
I mean that's what they want, like, right?
What we talked about earlier, it's the same sort of rhetoric that people pay attention to. And if you are pushed into overwhelming percentage of people throughout the Middle East, Muslim or not, are extremely opposed to groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda or et cetera. But if you push somebody against the wall and then your house is getting barrel bombed by the Assad regime, and the other option is to become a refugee and rot away in Jordan or Turkey or Lebanon, which I've been to, you know, refugee camps in a few of these countries. And then you hear from the West people saying, well, we don't want to let them in because they're all terrorists or they're all whatever else. I mean, people hear these things, you know. And, of course, there's a lot of people here that don't believe that and don't say that and would welcome them and have said that we will welcome them. But, I mean, what you hear and what comes to you through the media is often limited, you know what I mean? So if your back's against the wall and you've got the Assad regime barrel bombing you, you've got the U.S. and guys like Trump saying that we don't want to accept them. You've got, you know, the far right in Europe, which is starting to win elections and saying we don't want to accept refugees. If you're a young, impressionable, vulnerable, you know, 15-year-old kid and you don't know that much about your own religion and some guy comes to you and says, hey, look, these guys hate you. Why don't you come with us? I mean, that's a possibility.
Well, it's a matter of economics a lot of times and, you know, just holding on to their jobs and their family and what they know. Thank you very much, Justin. I need to move on. Justin Salhaney, I appreciate your time and we will chat again.
His articles are wonderful. Right. Check him out at Think Progress. We've backlinked him at KGOradio.com.
All right. Thank you. And have a good night. We're going to take a quick break and we come back. We have breaking news about the Warriors Arena and we will go to John Libertini in the KGO newsroom.
KGO 810.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Thank you for joining me on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. Download the KGO app today, and we KGO go wherever you go. The podcasts are always available. Interesting listening, for sure. And, you know, I'm not a big political guy, but on a day like today, when you've got Cheney and Paul Ryan and Lindsey Graham and Hillary and
it's a party
Bernie,
in the hot tub.
Yeah, all standing together against as one. And, of course, the White House just having a field day. They were even making fun of Trump's hair. Just nonstop. I think
the White House did?
Yes. Yes, the Philadelphia News has a picture of him, the Fuhrer, the Donald. This has all come about, and, you know, I can't ignore it today. We've got to talk about it. Donald Trump endures this withering fire with this Muslim plan, and the plan is to ban Muslims from entering the country, at least temporarily. And he cites Roosevelt's classification of thousands, and this goes back to World War II, and, of course, here in Northern California, we remember this.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
The Japanese,
no one remembers
the Germans,
that
the Italians.
That way.
Oh, my God. He said, well, they were enemy aliens, and so are these people.
Oh, my God.
Here, in case you missed it, here's what Mr. Trump said.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Okay, on the surface.
You have no choice.
On the surface, that sounds like a good idea, but he would not back down, and he doesn't want to let anybody in. You know, and how long is temporary? Is that 10 minutes? Is that 10 months? Is that 10 years? What exactly is he talking about? And by the way, the guy who's always asleep at the wheel, let's go to Jeb Bush. What does Jeb Bush have to say about Donald Trump?
He's not going to win the nomination. As people in New Hampshire get closer to this, they're going to want to know who has the capability of winning the general election and who can be president.
All right, let's take some calls, and then we're going to go to the psychology with of all of this with Dr.
Psychology of Trump.
Brian Russell. But we've got a lot of people holding. Kevin in San Francisco, thank you for holding here on the Drex Radio Show. You wanted to comment.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, and you agree with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'll kind of give you what my thoughts are, and I'll take your answers off the air.
Okay.
First of all, I think that it's really interesting that Cheney makes the comments that he did, being that he is nothing but a warmonger with his fingers in the pie of the military-industrial complex, and we won't even go into that.
I totally agree. We brought that up last night. I mean, he's the guy who should be keeping his mouth shut, yes.
Yeah, his solution is to send people over, kill people, and cause deaths of our soldiers arbitrarily. But that's another story. My feeling about Trump's comment really gets down to the core of that. It's not killing anybody. It's not hurting. It's a solution, and maybe not a complete solution, and maybe not a 100%. And of course, it's not a 100% solution, but it's not going to hurt anybody temporarily to say, hey, we're not going to let in X, Y, and Z until we know what's going on here. Okay? It doesn't cost a lot of money to do that. And this shakes everybody up who wants to build bombs and go off and start killing people. And
it hurts because this country was not founded on that principle at all. It's the opposite.
Well, one of the problems is we're trying to build an alliance with these countries, and let's face it, they're Muslims. And, you know, how can you build an army, a force, an alliance with countries when you're spewing this kind of rhetoric?
It's not rhetoric, though. The point of the matter is that we need to protect our borders.
No.
And if we have a feeling like there are, well, let me finish, please.
Mm-hmm.
If there are people out there of a certain demeanor, sect, religion, whatever else.
Yes, what do those people look like?
Are you going to interrupt me or are you going to let me talk?
I want you to tell me what a Muslim looks like.
Okay, you know what? You have all the answers. You do the talking.
Tell me how you're going to identify the Muslims that are trying to enter this country.
Oh, please. You know what? That's rhetoric right there, okay?
Is it?
And that's what people want to say is they want to say, oh, Trump hates Muslims, Trump hates Mexicans.
I didn't say that.
He doesn't hate anybody, okay? He wants to protect the people of this nation like me and say, hey, let's take some slow steps here. We're not going to build any bombs. We're not going to kill anybody. But these are the people who we think might be a threat, so we're going to go slow. And right now, we're not going to let them in, okay? You took what Cheney and Bush did after 9/11. They eviscerated our Constitution and our Bill of Rights by that Patriot Act. Now we have no rights left, and I'm not going down that road again, and I agree with Trump 100%.
Well, I agree with you on that. Yes, thank you very much.
But tell me, okay, you can't come to my party if you're a Muslim. Say my party's really awesome. You're going to lie and say you're not a Muslim.
You know what?
How is this a good plan?
Somewhere in the middle lies the answer. And if there's anything good that came out of Donald Trump spewing that garbage today, it is that the Democrats and the Republicans actually had a conversation in Washington today. All right, let's go to we're going to talk about, this will be lots of fun. Dr. Brian Russell, one of America's most recognizable psychologists and lawyers. Yes, and he is the author of the brand new book, Stop Moaning, Start Owning, How Entitlement is Ruining America, and How Personal Responsibility Can Fix It. Boy, you're the guy to go to talk about Donald. What time is it with this guy?
Well, let me tell you something about narcissism and politicians in general, and then I can talk about where it goes pathological sometimes.
Okay.
You have to have a little bit of narcissism in you to even run for political office. Think about it. We have 320 million of us living here. So for you to think that you're the one who belongs in the Oval Office making the big decisions, you could say that anybody who thinks that about themselves has a little bit of narcissism. And in that way, it's actually helpful to them because it causes them to pursue the goal in the first place. Now, here's where it can go pathological. It can go pathological in two ways. One is when it becomes inflated, when it becomes the opinion that the person has of themselves and of what they deserve from others particularly is grossly out of phase with the truth. Now, in Trump's case, he actually has achieved some amazing – the guy's a billionaire. When he says he's got the best golf courses in the world, he does. And so there's really a question, and that's why I wouldn't be prepared to say that in any of the cases when he says things about himself that it's inflated. The other way
it is inflated. And by the way, just to interject here, because, you know, this whole anti-Muslim thing today, he's in the middle of building two gigantic – enormous golf resorts in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. So how's that working out? I mean, is he going to build a wall around it? I mean, you know, what's he going to do?
You could say, though, that there's something admirable about somebody who's willing to put their own interests, their own financial interests at risk that way,
right,
by standing up for a principle that is going to upset people on whom he's dependent financially for those projects to be successful. Now, the other way that narcissism can go pathological is when, and this is when somebody gets a diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder, is when it becomes damaging either to themselves or does avoidable damage to innocent others. Mm. Okay, and you'd have to look at the polls and say, you know, up to now, it's really tough to argue that it's damaging Trump. So you'd have to say, well, is it doing avoidable damage to innocent others? And you could say, well, maybe so, because there are people who are perfectly nice, wonderful people who might not be able to get in here, and that's damaging to them. But then the question becomes, is that avoidable? And sometimes damage isn't avoidable. For example, every time we all go through the security line at the airport, we're damaged, we're inconvenienced, or time is taken up, and we're not going to do anything wrong. But it's hard to say that that's really avoidable, because we have to do that, or else we would have disasters happening on a regular basis on airplanes. So I wouldn't be prepared to say that we have narcissistic personality disorder here. What I would be prepared to say is we have some narcissism here, as is the case with most politicians, and it's on a continuum. And so is this farther along than some? Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll find out how damaging it is and where you stand on this. And by the way, I love what you were saying about the narcissism, that you need some. I mean, you need some of that temperament. Because guess who doesn't have it? Great example, Jeb Bush. Low energy. I mean, Donald's right about that. Yes, he's not narcissistic. He doesn't have a drop of that in him.
I think
but
you're
look
right.
Look where he's at, 4%.
Because he has that last name, Bush, yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Okay, let's take a break. If you're on hold, we'll be with you, 808-0810, as we discuss Donald Trump saying no Muslims for the time being. Not here. Okay, 808-0810, and we'll be back with Dr. Brian Russell. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Lee Graham in the KGO.